Right. Hi, everyone. Good to see you all. So I know it's a minute before the hour here, but I'd like to go ahead and just welcome everyone, and not because music is from our album Reflections, and all the pieces are long. So that was a De-Skaliding Beyond with Madeline on the flute, and that's about a 10-minute piece, so it's just about finished on time. So welcome to our first Thursday of the month. This is November 3rd, 2022, World Peace Meditation and Satsang Gathering. It's great to see you all here, and I'm going to give just a minute for maybe a few more people to join, but we'll go ahead and get started right away. As you know, this is the time where we have an opportunity to connect in a more meditative and less intellectual approach. We try to stay in our hearts here and just remember the truth that what we are was never born and will never die. We are the spirit that makes this all possible. And it's very important to keep that in mind, especially during these challenging times. So we will be meeting on the third Thursday as usual. That'll be the 17th, I believe. Yeah. And we'll still be here at home in California at that point, but we're going to be leaving a few days after that, and we'll be gone for 4 months until April. So that'll be a little more challenging when we're on the road to make this all happen, but usually we do somehow figure it out. So we'll plan on it. But it's such a luxury to be sitting at the piano and right here, everything's all set up, and we can just have our studio and have our gathering. And so it's really, I'm very grateful for the way this is all arranged here. All right, so now I think we'll go ahead and get started. And as you all know, if you've been here before, this is not more than an hour. And we try to keep it to that. And I usually just do a guided meditation in the beginning here. I'll be accompanying myself on our piano, Yuma, and that we bought down in San Jose many, many years ago, 1992, I think. And then we'll just open it up. I'll talk maybe about a few things. I know there's a request to talk about meditation as an actual practice. And so I'd like to go ahead and talk about that. And then if we have any questions or comments, we can proceed that way. So, all right, so feel free. We're going to begin our meditation time now. However you'd like to be, you can leave your cameras on if you'd like, or turn them off, however you're comfortable. And we'll go ahead and get started. Breathing, with every exhalation we allow ourselves to slow down, enter more deeply into this present moment. Breathing together, we open our hearts to the radiant truth that is shining at the very core of our being, what we are is infinite and eternal consciousness. Always in unity with the source of our life and of all life. That we are. Making this experience on earth possible. To awaken to the truth that we are and to contribute in our unique way to the healing of our world, to the awakening of our society, to discover the truth at ever deeper and deeper levels, we give thanks for this precious adventure of this lifetime under this particular name, this particular body. In this particular time and place, with these particular challenges and opportunities, and with our talents and abilities and capacities, breathing. With every exhalation, letting go of any thoughts of the past and future, entering more deeply into the heart of this moment, into our own heart, where we dwell eternally at peace. Eternally in harmony, eternally in complete freedom, eternally in joy. Love and compassion in our hearts. For all living beings. We open now our hearts to the suffering of our brothers and sisters. Both human beings and the animal beings that we share this beautiful earth with. Breathing now together. With every exhalation, we breathe forth and radiate loving kindness. To all living beings. May all beings be happy and have all of the causes of happiness. We hold all living beings in our heart. We allow ourselves to expand beyond the idea of favoritism or the eye of equality. We send our love to every expression of life. Breathing and radiating love, abiding in our true home. Abiding in loving kindness. Abiding in our true home of compassion. We now hold the living beings in our heart with the feeling of yearning that they be free from suffering, and the yearning also to act, to help relieve their suffering, to help liberate beings from the ignorance that causes suffering, that is unnecessary. Abiding in the heart of compassion, and with every exhalation, radiating compassion in all directions to all living beings. We send our compassion especially to the animals who are used for food and other products for testing by human beings and in ignorance. Send our compassion to the animals and to the humans who are also sowing seeds of suffering without realizing. Abiding in our true home of compassion for all beings, our brothers and sisters, in the light of infinite wisdom, in the eternity, we give thanks knowing that all beings are free. And now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the awareness and the feeling of joy, the joy that abides in our heart always, the joy of being. The joy that we feel when we savor magnificence of life unfolding all around us on earth, in the universe, in every cell of our being. The joy of others finding happiness. Awakening. With every exhalation, we allow this feeling of joy radiate from our heart in all directions, filling every cell and organ and system in our body with harmony, peace and joy, abundance, and radiating to all living beings. Abiding in our true home of joy, the infinite joy that is completely independent of any material causes, the joy of knowing that we need nothing to feel joy. And finally, we open our hearts to the wisdom of inner peace. The peace that arises as we awaken to love and compassion and joy, as we awaken to the truth that we are, abiding in peace, knowing that we are fundamentally untouched by anything in three-dimensional reality, time and space. With every exhalation, we allow this peace to permeate every aspect of our consciousness, of our body and mind, and flowing forth into all directions. May all beings be at peace. All beings be in harmony, and we see our beautiful planet, abundant, bathed in the light of peace, of wisdom, creativity, joy, love, and freedom. Feeling our connection with the earth through all of our ancestors, through our daily lives, the beauty of the earth around us, savoring this beauty, not taking it for granted, and feeling our connection with the infinite creative spirit, the source of all life. And now, as we begin to return, we allow our mind and heart to open to the unique place that we are right now in our life, and to connect with the unique purpose and mission that we have right now in this lifetime. Just allowing the music to connect us with the inner light of wisdom that is always shining in our heart. To connect with the contributions that we are here to manifest and the learnings and gifts that we are here to give and to receive right now. So as we close our meditation, we give thanks for each other. We give thanks for this community of caring hearts, for all the efforts that each one of us is making on behalf of the awakening of our world to a way of living in harmony with the truth that we are. And we give thanks for all of our loved ones, for all of our teachers, whoever they are, for all the teachings of all the traditions that help us to awaken to the infinite interconnectedness of all life. And we give thanks for the inner light shining always as wisdom and guidance, helping us to live our life authentically, to resist the delusions and addictions promoted by materialism and ignorance. We give thanks for this inner light. And we give thanks knowing that as we go forth from our gathering here together, that every day we will connect more deeply and fully with the heart wisdom, with the song that is reverberating in every cell of our being, and dance our dance, contribute our unique gifts to the world. We give thanks knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity that is happening right now as we stretch forth individually and together to co-create the world that is always beckoning a world of harmony with the beauty of nature, the beauty of all of us, a world in alignment with the truth that we are every day discovering. We give thanks to the power and to the presence of the one life that we are. And so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining together in our time of meditation together once a month. We can remember the truths that so often get lost in the shuffle, I think, in our society today. So thanks for being part of creating the field that makes this whole thing possible. I really appreciate it. And so we have a little time here. We've got about a half an hour. So I'd like to talk a little bit, actually, about meditation, because one of our members really wanted me specifically to go into that. And I think it's a very important topic. It's a vast topic, but it's one that we are not encouraged really to participate in our society, and so most of us have no idea really what meditation is all about. So what we just did was a guided meditation, and you know, there's various types of meditation. Guided meditations can be very helpful. If you can create one on your own and record yourself, or you can find ones that you feel are helpful. You can get, you know, we have some, the Four Viharas actually is one that we made a CD of, and we did that just now, a version of that. But there's also, of course, meditations where we're just sitting in silence, and there's many different types of meditation in that way as well. The main thing in all meditations, really, is we're working with the mechanism of attention, basically what you could call, it's not mechanical, but with the aspect of our consciousness that attends to what we're focusing on. So it's really about focusing our awareness. Meditation is a practice of focusing our awareness. And the problem is that we're raised in a society where we're not really taught anything about this. We're taught to be worrying about the past and regretting the past and worrying about the future and and hoping to change ourselves and change other people. And so we're in this continual movement and anxiety, basically, in our life from the time we're little kids. And so out of that, we are always trying to push things away that we don't like, or pull things towards us that we do like, and we end up getting lost in somewhat of a adversarial relationship with the world around us, either grossly or very subtly, in trying to manipulate things. And so the whole idea with meditation is to become the witness of all of that. Just watch it. See it happen. So instead of paying attention to the world out there as a thing that we have to somehow engage with and have it work out the way we want and all of that struggle, is to what actually get interested in who is this being here that's actually engaged, and what am I? What is this? And what we'll find is that when we start to attend to anything, to be quiet and watch and be aware of this, that thoughts will come bubbling up. My old Zen teacher said, if we don't meditate, we're not aware really of how noisy our minds actually are. We don't even know, because we're just noisily running around. I mean, the noise is inside of us, but we project it out. And I have to tell you, I mean, we live in one of the noisiest societies in the history of the world. I mean, it's ridiculous. People are not comfortable just sitting quietly and being. We need to be always have music playing in the background, or TV, or be looking at our cell phone, or be interacting somehow, trying to escape the present moment, basically, and escape from usually the basic discomfort that we feel of not knowing what we are and why we're here and what our purpose is. So meditation is essentially this radical kind of approach to living, which is very natural. It's just actually getting interested and inquiring into what we are. And so we find that, as I was saying, thoughts come in. And these thoughts come in like a deluge. And so when we don't meditate, we don't realize how thoughts just come piling one on top of the other. And the thoughts drive us. Thoughts, if you watch carefully, you'll see how thoughts will engender feelings, and they'll engender actions, and they'll engender habits, and they'll engender our entire destiny, right? It all comes out of our thoughts. But most of us, our thoughts just happen. We don't really feel that we have control over it for the most part. So the way to get some sanity, I think, and really centeredness and health in our mind and into our life is to work with our thoughts, to be aware, first of all, be aware of them. And then be aware of the ones that, there's two approaches. One is to be aware of them. One is to cultivate those that are positive. And I think my old Zen teacher said that most of us, when we start meditating, we realize that we have this internal popcorn popping machine that we can't find the off switch on. You know, it's always popping up another thought, like every second, every 2 seconds. And so if we say, okay, I'm just going to sit here and be quiet and not think anything, yeah, good luck. you'll be thinking, and you'll think of all the things, and whatever is unresolved in our life, whatever it is, we will chew on it. Our mind will chew on it. I mean, guaranteed. And so we can either get involved in the chewing, and we can get upset and think about and what they should have done and what I wish I would have done and what I'm going to do next time and, you know, all of that. And there's a place for that. But the whole idea is to extract ourselves out of the brambles of that, of getting scratched all the time by not being able to extract ourselves out of the thoughts and be aware of them. So what do we actually do? So there's basically all meditation practices, whatever they are, and there's literally thousands and thousands and thousands of practices, because every tradition has an aspect of it that has to do with meditation, right? There's Christian meditations and Buddhist and Jewish and Islamic and Taoist and Confucian and Hindu and shamanic and modern psychology has created a bunch of them. You know, but they all do the same thing. They're all designed to basically focus our attention on a point, and that can be the breathing is really a good one to start with. The breath, I guess that's kind of a universal thing, just becoming aware of our breath. The breath is really the one physical function. It's kind of unique in that it's both conscious and unconscious. Our heartbeat is going to beat no matter what. Our digestion is going to happen no matter what. All these things happen automatically. Breathing is going to happen no matter what. But we can watch it. We can actually lengthen it. We can slow it down. We can become aware of it. And so breath is one of the universal focuses of attention to quiet the mind. So that's a great practice for beginning and advanced meditators, is to watch your breathing. And I think one of the things we can really do if we want to just have a happier life, if we want to have a more joyful, creative life, become aware of the breathing. Become aware of your breathing. Just become aware throughout the day. It's hard to be upset and angry or frustrated if I'm aware of my breathing, because breath awareness brings us to a place of, you know, here I am. This is what's happening. And so breath awareness is very helpful. In many traditions, they are more devotional. You know, so there's lots of meditations that have to do with feeling a connection with a loving presence with Jesus or the Buddha of the Amitabha Buddha or the Lord of whatever it is, and just resting in that awareness. That can attract the mind and help us to stay in that. And the whole idea is to, our mind is scattered. It's running around. It's thinking in past and future, and all of that scatteredness. We're not whole. We're scattered. So meditation is to bring us healing, to bring us into this moment, to find something we can focus on. So we can focus on breathing. We can focus on the sense of a loving divine being that is our source. However you feel drawn to, there's no one right practice to give to people. People, we all have different tendencies and different emotional makeup and character and so forth. So it's important to find a practice that is helpful. My training is mainly in the Buddhist tradition, although I've studied everything, really almost everything, not everything. I guess nobody can study everything, but I used to teach college courses in world religions. You know, I really looked into all the different esoteric traditions of Sufi dancing and meditations and all this Kabbalah, all these different things, and Christian mysticism and Hindu and all this stuff. And it's beautiful to see the richness of the human heritage. And the beautiful thing is, each one of us now, we can choose whatever we want. Really, I mean, we're free. If you find something from India, for example, that really is a wonderful practice, go ahead. You know, there's nothing stopping. And there's some great practices in all these traditions. But the idea is, like, for example, a mantra. I spent quite a bit of time in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So that practice is there very often, are repeating a prayer, a mantra or a prayer. And that's a big one, you know, in Christian tradition. So I'm giving a couple of ideas. You need something to tie your attention to, especially in the beginning, something, either repeating a prayer or an awareness. Another practice, which is probably the universal practice, is to just have this questioning attitude. What am I? What is this? Who am I? And be open. And of course, the mind will want to go somewhere. So it's usually good to, you have to keep that questioning going, and you can connect that with the breathing. So, like, for example, when I was in the Zen monastery in Korea, you know, it was very interesting because they would tell the young monks to practice watching the breath and counting the breath. And they would do that for like 2 or 3 years. Do nothing but just count your breath. I mean, it's a wonderful kind of mentality. It's like you spend 2 or 3 years just doing nothing but counting your breath. And you count your breath typically from 1 to 10. So you're going to meditate for half an hour. All right. So you're sitting there for half an hour and you inhale. The best thing usually they say, and you can do it different ways, but to count the breath on the inhalation, right? So you inhale 1, exhale, inhale 2, exhale. And you just don't try to control the breath, but just count the breaths. And when you get up to number 10, then you just say 1, and you do that. And so the idea is to just be present, be relaxed, focus on the breath. If I start thinking about what I'm going to make for lunch or what I'm going to write in that letter or that email, whatever it is, the idea is to just let that go and come back to the numbers. You're doing this for half an hour. It's a training. It's a training, basically, just to learn to get some sense of your mind and how it works. And if you can keep your focus, and what you'll learn, of course, is that you can keep the mind the mind can do two things at once, right? You can kind of keep the count going, but also have a thought going. But if you get too much into the thought, you're going to lose the count. Then you have to start over at one again. You go, oh, I don't know where I'm at. Or you'll count past 10, you'll go up to 11, 12, 13. But the whole idea is to just be patient and just do that. Most people in the West don't have the patience to do that for 2 or 3 years every day, like they do in Asia. They just do it. They're like, all right, I'll do that first. That lays the foundation, then I'll go on to the next practice. But the idea is you can practice that, really. I mean, I did when I was 21 or whatever. I was living in a meditation center, and I just did a lot of counting my breath. But the from 1 to 10, because that's what they said to do, so I did it, you know. But the idea is you can do that, and you can do some variations of the theme. For example, counting from 1 to 100, for example. I mean, that's another option. Just count from 1 to 100 and then count backwards from 100 back to 1. You can't do it unless you are able to somewhat focus your attention. So it's a good test to see how well you can attend to something. Sustained attention is a tremendous power of the mind. If we don't have the power to sustain our attention on a point, then and concentrate and be present, then we're going to get knocked off balance all the time by emotions and by thoughts and by what people say about us or to us or whatever. The more we learn to keep our mind where we want it, the more we have actually the capacity to be in charge of our life, which is important because we are getting bombarded all the time with toxicity, and most people don't have any defense because their mind is wide open. Whatever they hear, they go, oh, and they believe it, and they get knocked off balance, and they don't have a foundation. So meditating, learning to control and be the witness of our attention consciously, because the idea is that we have this body-mind that's, they're not separate. They're totally, it's one thing. The body and the mind are not separate. So the body-mind is functioning, but we are the driver of the body-mind. I mean, we are the being that we are, it functions through the body-mind. And so these are practices that you can try out, counting the breath from 1 to 10, or from 1 to 20, or from 1 to 100, counting backwards. If you know, just see, try these out. If you get so you can really do this, I mean, in the Tibetan practice, they actually did it. They have a practice where you count every breath that you make the entire day. So you're up to like, I can't remember what it was, like 20,000 breaths. You know, but you don't do it. You just do it a few times. But the idea is to really learn, you know, how to become aware of the breathing. And the idea is that after you get so you can count your breath and not lose track, then you can let go of the counting. You let it go. And then you're just aware of the breathing, for example. And the idea with meditation is you can also let go of even being aware of the breathing and just rest in awareness. So there's basically two kinds of meditation. I mean, the main one I've been talking about is focused awareness meditation. So you're focusing on something. That's really the foundation. But when you get to an advanced enough point, then you can actually let go of any particular focus and just practice what in Zen is called shikantaza. It's a practice of just being aware without attaching to any particular thing. But it's not easy. I mean, you can't do this as a beginner. I mean, it takes years, really. So unless you're some kind of amazing person, to just start out and just rest in this wide awake awareness without your thoughts intruding is very difficult. So that's why it's good to do practices to get you to that point. And they have to do typically with focusing your attention on the breath, or on a prayer, a mantra, could be on a something outside. You can like a yan, either a visualization, or it could be something that you just fix your gaze on and just look at that. There's so many different meditation practices. But I personally think that the fundamental grandmother of all meditations that never fails you and never gets old is what am I, or what is this, or who am I? I mean, just to rest in this, going deeper with that question and listening, inner listening. It's really, meditation is really an inner listening. And again, thoughts will emerge. The nature of the mind is to create thoughts. So the idea is to be able to just listen and not let the thoughts take you away. Just, if the thought comes, just let it go and just come back to the present moment. My old Zen teacher said, it's kind of a funny image, but he said it's like if you're in the woods at night and you know there's a tiger not too far away. You're just listening, you know, you're not thinking of any, you're not wondering anything else, you're just right there. You know, it's this idea of being very one-pointedly present. And it's so important, because if we're not able to collect our mind, then when our attention is scattered all the time, then we're never really present for life. That's the thing. And we don't notice the beauty of the flowers and the beauty of the people around us and all the things. We kind of miss out. So if we want to really enrich our life, it's to work with our mind and do these kinds of practices that seem very mundane and boring. But that's the beauty. You know, boring things are not boring, actually. Actually, just sitting in awareness and watching the breath can be really very helpful. I mean, you can feel great later. I mean, it can. And the whole idea, of course, is to let it go through the day. So when people say, I try meditating, but it doesn't work for me because my mind is so scattered. There's so much, and I'm just wasting my time. That's the main problem that happens. People think, you know, I meditate 20 minutes a day or whatever it is, and my mind is just all over the place, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to write in my journal and check my emails instead or whatever. But really, don't look for progress in the meditation, because you may not ever see it. Meditation is a very tricky thing. If you want to look for progress, look in the rest of your life. That's where you'll see the progress. I just think it's important to take time every day, just make a commitment and say, I'm going to spend X amount of time. The best thing is to do it early in the morning, get it in early, because once the day starts, very often it doesn't happen, but however you want to do it, but just make a commitment to that, and it sets a tone for the rest of the day. And then try to repeat that throughout the day. I think the people that make really, I think, the most, in a sense, progress in meditation are people who keep it going throughout the entire day. So the idea is, if I'm going to watch my breath, or ask who am I, or dwell in the presence of the loving divine being, then don't just do it for 20 minutes and never do it again throughout the day. Continue. Throughout the day, when you're driving, whenever you can think about it. So a lot of people will set, like we do, we set timers throughout the day. Like every day at noon, of course, we pray, and when we have meals and other times. I set it when we were some places, you know, we stay at spiritual centers, and there's one whole movement where they call it traffic control, and every day, every hour, at the top of the hour, there's a big bell rings, and everybody stops whatever they're doing, and is quiet for 2 minutes, and just meditates for 2 minutes, and then they go on about whatever they're doing. So maybe they're on a phone call, and the bell rings. They call it traffic control. It's called traffic control. All right, traffic control. So it's the Brahma Kumaris, you know, the Brahma Kumaris people, and they take 2 minutes every hour and just remember, you know, remember what's going on here, and then continue on, because it's so easy to get lost in our busy minds and everything. So the idea is to try to have this percolate throughout the day. And then when we go to bed at night, it's another good time to sit quietly and recollect the day, connect with our breathing. And then when we go into sleep, to bring a meditative awareness into sleep. so that when we wake up in the morning, we're meditating the whole night, and we're just continuing it on. It's that is very important, because so many people struggle with meditation because they're just doing it at one point in the day, and not throughout all the time. That's what the whole idea is, that we're living more mindfully. And so meditation is mindfulness practice, essentially just being mindful of this moment, whatever it is. It's the opposite of what we're taught in our society. We're taught to be busy and be distracted and to just change and people and change ourselves and get things done. But if we can bring this quality of mindfulness, that's what veganism is, right? Veganism is mindful eating, being aware of what the heck I'm eating. Well, everything, we can bring that to everything. What I'm saying, what I'm thinking. And then we can also do a practice called standing porter at the gate of our thoughts. And I think this is important, a part of meditation. I mean, meditation is being aware, but I think it's important to stand porter at the gate. So that means don't allow in thoughts that you don't want to allow in. I mean, really. I mean, thoughts are toxic. So many thoughts are toxic. Thoughts of, oh, I wish, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't like that person, or I feel, you know, this is a hopeless situation. I mean, whatever. Why do we indulge those thoughts? They're not going to do any good. And so it's really important, I think, to stand at the porter at the gate and let in thoughts that reflect the truth of what we are. That what we are is an eternal spiritual being, and we're here for a few short years to be part of the awakening of humanity, right? However you want to say it, however you articulate this to yourself, but to cultivate a sense of gratitude, right? We can allow in thoughts of being grateful. We can switch the channel at any time. That's the thing to understand. That's the power that we get, actually, from being able to have a mindful awareness of the mechanism of attention. Where do we pay our attention to? Do we pay attention to the person's faults? You know, we see someone and they have all these faults. So we can criticize them endlessly. Like, oh, look at him. Oh, look at how he looks or how he acts or what he does. We can do that. We can pay attention to that and see that. And it's not very nice to them, because even if we don't say anything, we're in a way laying a trip on them to further them having those negative characteristics, because we see them that way. We're really seeing ourselves, but we're projecting it on somebody else and criticizing them. And so if instead of that, we see the beauty in them, see the good things that they're capable of, that they're doing, see the kindness and the so forth. And when we see that and we attend to that, we put our attention on that, we're blessing them. We're sending them a blessing. And it always comes back. I mean, the more we see the good in others and the good in the situations that we're in, then the more that builds. Why should we not do that, right? I mean, but of course I do have to say we need to be aware of what's happening also. But the idea is when we look at other people, to see the best in them and do the same thing, of course, with the being that we are, to really focus on what we can bring forth and give thanks for the progress that we're making in our life, and realize that that's really an important foundation, the foundation of being a being who's making progress, that we are making progress, we're developing, we're cultivating our capacities. We're not here to be lazy, you know, just not try to improve ourselves. We're here really to improve ourselves, to improve our awareness, to refine our awareness. And the more we do that, the more we can bless the world. So I think this is a key point, and one of the things that I've been kind of harping on a little bit, with the vegan movement, because I feel that in the vegan movement there's this tendency to think that we're already perfect if we're vegan, so we don't have to work on ourselves. We just have to work on other people, change them, bring them, you know, make them be more like us. And instead of that, to really keep the focus on who we are and just see the best in other people. Just see the best in them and share what we are from a place of love without criticism. Because as soon as we criticize, people contract and it makes it a lot harder. So the whole idea is to understand we've all been wounded, and it's really about healing these wounds. And the wounds keep us distracted. That's really what it does. When we're wounded as little kids and forced to eat meat and criticized and blamed and shamed and all and hurt and abused, we contract. And so, and then it makes it hard to meditate. Really, our mind is like kind of bouncing around because we haven't been able to integrate all these things that happened to us when we were little. So meditation is really challenging for a lot of people because they have to sit and they suddenly become aware of all this repressed anger towards their parents or towards people in their lives, and all this repressed emotion. That's why they've been busy all the time. So the whole idea is you don't have to yell and scream about it. You just breathe. Just breathe. And understand that everybody's been wounded. It wasn't personal. They didn't do it on purpose. Remember I told the story of the empty boat? I think I'll tell it one more time because I think it's so good. This is in Chuangzu. You know, if you study Taoism, Chuangzu is one of the two great teachers of Lao Tzu and Chuangzu. Anyway, Chuangzu has this story where he's just enjoying himself so much, laying down in a boat on this beautiful little lake, and it's sunny and warm, and he's drifting around. Peaceful, everything's nice, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, some boat rams into him, and he's very frustrated and irritated. How could be so stupid to just run into me like that? And so he sits up and he's ready to yell at somebody, and it's an empty boat. It was just, you know, it was a boat, I guess, that got loose from the dock, and it was just drifting around on the lake. And so instead of yelling at the, because you can't yell at an empty boat, he just started laughing at himself, like, we have to understand it's all empty boats. Whenever somebody does something and bangs into us and criticizes us, blames us, or whatever, they're just being, they're, it's nothing personal. They're just being who they are, right? I mean, so we can, when we see that, we can begin, I think, to see that people are wounded and that's why they do things that we don't think are good. And it's the same for us. I mean, we're going to do things that aren't too smart, too. And it's because we've been wounded. So to heal the wounds, and meditation, I think, is the royal path for this because it's about being mindful and taking control of our mind. Our mind can be our worst enemy or it can be our greatest friend. So those are some practices. I'm going to ask if anybody has any questions. I don't want to go any longer now because I already went too long. Does anyone have any questions about this? These are like the guide, like the four viharas, for example, is a great practice. Just to, while you're driving the car or waiting in line in the post office or just sitting quietly for 10 minutes, just inhale love, exhale love. Inhale compassion, exhale compassion. Inhale joy, exhale joy. Inhale peace, exhale peace. They're very profound. This is called the four immeasurables. The four immeasurables, they're infinite. Love, compassion, joy, and peace are infinite. We don't know how infinite they are until we start to actually practice them. But love, compassion, joy, and peace, that's one. That's a type of practice we can root on and ground on, or the breathing, or some of the other things I've been mentioning. And just keep doing it. Don't give up. That's the most important thing. When psychologists study people who meditate, they always find, basically, even when people have what they feel is a terrible meditation, their mind was all over the place, that basically, from the psychological point of view, it's healthy. They're actually processing things, and so it's good to do it for whatever, for physical health, for psychological health, and then eventually for spiritual health and spiritual awakening. And it can take you all the way, right, to Buddhahood if you actually keep practicing. It's all about practice. It's just, if I had never practiced the piano, it wasn't that fun to sit here and play scales and arpeggios and all this baloney, but I did it, and it opens up the doorway to much better things. That's the idea. Anyone have any questions or comments about anything I've been saying here this afternoon? It's getting dark here. We're daylight savings time on Saturday. Don't forget. turn your clocks back an hour, get an extra hour. Extra hour of meditation. Okay, Julie, yes, you have your hand up? Unmute yourself. You're not unmuted, I think.
Is that better?
So good to see you. Yay.
Safe travels. I'm going to miss the piano.
I know. No piano until, I don't know, April or May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've sat in a lot of Buddhist meditation retreat programs, so I definitely am accustomed to the methods that you talk about and have gotten great, great healing from them and self-realization, as you say. But as a medical clinical hypnotist and a metaphysical hypnotist, I learned that the cycles per second of our brains, when we are in the beta state, and the beta state is the state we're in when we're walking around, operates at about 32 cycles per second, which is
right. Pretty
crazy, going, and that's when we're in the gotta do state, gotta do this, gotta do that. But once you start to go into alpha, the cycles per second, alpha is the meditation rate. Once you start going into the alpha waves, then you slip below 20. And once you're below 20, you're in alpha. And then if you go below 12, then you're actually in a hypnotic state. So you can go into a light alpha level or a deeper level. But all I do when I'm teaching, in addition to the breath, I think one of the easy ways is to just focus on your mind slowing down. Those cycles per second, just like you're focusing on your breathing, you can also easily focus on the cycles per second of your brain waves, just slowing down to below 20. And in the beginning, it's going to be 32, maybe as high as 40, but it's really easy. It's just a little tip I wanted to share.
That's interesting. So do you do that also in conjunction with like a brainwave monitor where you can actually see that, or you just do this in your imagination?
I've actually done research at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Boston, where we had 12 subjects hooked up to encephalographs, where we could actually see them shifting
around.
So I didn't really have to guess where they were at in that particular application. But I don't bother with it because I can tell by their eye movements and their throat pulse and all kinds of things where they are and how they're breathing where the client.
But how would someone who's doing that themselves know, like, if I'm sitting there, I think, okay, I'm at 32, now I'm going down to 20. Do you just kind of feel yourself slowing the mind down? Is that what you're saying, just slowing it down?
Just like if you were running, you could feel what that level was at if you were physically running.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you just say, okay, the brain is running, I'm going to slow it down. And you become very accustomed to feeling the shift and realizing, okay, I just shifted into alpha. How wonderful, you know, and alpha does so many things in the meditative.
Right.
It helps your immune system and creativity and connection to spirit. Everything.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, slowing the brainwaves down to alpha or delta or theta. I mean, we get into more creativity and so forth. So, yeah, good point.
Meditating all day or, you know, trying to incorporate it into your day. And definitely we can do that. We can go into the meditative level while we're cooking, while we're taking a walk, while we're doing a painting. So instead of thinking of that, doing it through the day as having to sit still, just realize it's a state of mind. Slow yourself down and focus on your breathing and do what you're doing, and it's really spectacular.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Julie. Good points. And there's lots of other things we could talk about. One thing I do every day is Tai Chi Chuan, and that you know, just doing a slow, or yoga is another thing. If you do slow movements, also that can help. Like when I'm washing the dishes, I'm just kind of doing Tai Chi. You know, you can bring that same state of consciousness into whatever you're doing. Well, we're past our time, and Madeline is right here, and we'd like to have our prayer together to close our time. Thank you, everyone, again for joining us. It's wonderful to see you. And let's say our prayer together. You can unmute yourselves if you don't mind. It's always nice to hear the divine cacophony, we call it here. And let's say our prayer together. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Again. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Great. Okay, one more time with feeling. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Thank you. See you on November 17th. And go forth and multiply the meditation and compassion for all beings. Have a wonderful couple of weeks. Thanks again. Much love.
Thank you.
Will. All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Mani Pai Mahom.
What does that mean?
That means the jewel in the lotus, compassion for all beings.
Oh, wow.
Mani Pai Mahom, yeah.
Beautiful.
And Mahom.